The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
On Facebook, and we welcome you, and we're glad that you're here, and those that are listening on the radio station that we're broadcasting. You see, we're doing more than what you see here. There's a lot more going on than what you may realize, because there's people listening on Facebook right now that need to hear the Word of God, that need to be in church. Amen? There's people listening on the radio that we want to invite them to church, because in today's age, there's too many people that feel they're not worthy to come to church. Amen? There's people that we all know that think we've done too much wrong, and I'm standing before you as one who used to think that. I'm standing before you as one who didn't grow up in church. I did a lot of messed up stuff. I stand before you as one, a preacher now, who has been saved and restored. Amen? Anybody else in here? You know, God created... You got no sound? God created the earth, and He said it was good. How many of you know we've messed it up since then? Amen? You have sound? Okay. God made all this, made all these things in the beginning, right? He made all these things. And after that, He said it was good. And ever since then, Adam and Eve, they had it all. Just like you and I, we had it all growing up. And then we fell away from God. We fell short. We missed the mark. The Bible says that we've all fallen short. So guess what? Don't feel alone, proud, you watching. Don't feel alone, because we've all fallen short. We've all, if you could look at a bullseye on the wall, we've all missed the mark, and we are all in need of a Savior. Can I just help anybody out with that? Each one of us, no matter what we've done, have drifted from the Lord. And we need to understand, though we messed up, there's one that's going to try to keep us messing up. There's going to be one that's trying to try to pull us. And I started with a whole series of messages. And those of you, if you get the messages, get online, go back and get them. Because we've been talking about the covering of God. We've been talking about coming back to the Father's house. And we've had a lot of people respond of coming back to the Father's house. We're having people that want to get back in the house of God because they've drifted away or drifted, and I've been there too. But in John 10:10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." His mission is to keep you out of church. His mission is to keep you from being blessed. His mission is to keep you out of that covering. But Jesus says, and your Bible would be in red, He says, "I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Let me tell you, Jesus came for people just like me. Jesus came for people just like you, because we've all fallen short and we're all in need of a Savior. And the problem is that most people don't like to hear some of that things. I mentioned earlier that I'm salt and light, just like you are. And light enhances things and shows you the path, right? The Word of God says that He's a lamp to my feet. Amen? But the salt also adds flavor. But can I tell you, sometimes the salt of the Word gets into some of my sores. Anybody ever had a paper cut? Don't feel too good when you get a little salt in it, does it? Or when you put peroxide on a wound. Right? Just being real, you got to remember, I'm just a real preacher. I'm just a common old guy. Real stuff, right? You cut your finger, you put peroxide on it, you go, ah! But you know, sometimes that's what the Word of God does. Doesn't it? Anybody in the last year found the Word of God molding and shaping you, and you're like, ah, man, right? Right? And sometimes it's like, ouch. Sometimes I just want to go in the corner and cry. Because sometimes it's just like, you know, God, I know. And then I find myself having to repent and say, okay, Lord, help me. Help me. You know, like that one guy, he's help my unbelief. Amen? In these day and age we live in, there's going to be one that's trying to kill, steal, and destroy. You're seeing it all around, but we need to stick together as believers and say, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to dwell in the place of safety. And that's the next verse. Going to Psalms 91. As I'm bringing this thing in, because we've been preaching this for about 6-8 weeks now. So I'm just highlighting, okay? And we're going to get into the message. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. You know, I had to learn this from an early age. Was I going to trust in God? Amen? In this day and age, you're gonna have to draw a line in the sand and say, for me and my house, I'm gonna serve the Lord. Amen. For me and my house, I'm gonna have to declare out of my own mouth, Lord, I trust you, whatever it may be. You have a need today? Well, here's a good one. Finances. Who isn't challenged anymore with finances? Unless you're just a multimillionaire and you're worried about that. We all have challenges of provision, don't we? We all have challenges of shelter and safety and peace of mind. But can I tell you, Jesus can provide that to you and I. Amen. I didn't know it. I didn't grow up in church. I lived almost 30 years doing my own thing. You can do a lot of living in 30 years and mess it all up. Amen? Amen. I didn't do things right. So if you think just because I'm a preacher that I got everything all figured out and I did it right from the beginning, uh-uh. I'm a walking testimony of the love of Jesus Christ and the grace and mercy that he provided me with a man who messed up continually till I got my mind right. Amen? Till I got my heart right. You see, I've been preaching about coming back to the Father's house. I've been preaching about the prodigal son. Why? Because I lived it. That's why I know it so well. The verses, I can play them back in my life about how I wanted to do my own thing because we've all strayed like the prodigal son. We've all been into things we shouldn't have been doing. But my concern to this is there's Christians that are living a life of deceived in which they think they're saved and they're not saved. That is a real concern for me because they're applying cheap grace as opposed to true grace and love of mercy for God. It's not a get out of jail free. I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm just going to keep sinning. No, we're supposed to turn from that stuff. Amen. We should be praying. It took me time. There's Christian believers that are looking at stuff that they should not be looking at. There's Christian believers that are doing stuff they should not be doing. There's Christian believers that are forsaking the assembling of themselves. Hello? My question is, if you're born again and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, why would you not want to be in the house of the Lord? Why would you not? I'll tell you why not. Because there's one trying to keep you out. So don't feel all guilty and embarrassed or anything like that. Because I was that guy years ago. There's one that, especially somebody who just came to the Lord, you'll find things where the devil's trying to keep them out of church. Things will happen. Health, finances, jobs, kids. There'll be things happen in your life. You're a brand new Christian, and all of a sudden the family wants to have a family gathering at 10 a.m. on Sunday mornings to have lunch. And you're like, well, I wanted to go to church. Well, if you really loved your family, you'd be here. Ever happened to anybody? Happened to me. If you really cared about us, you would be here. Well, I care about being in the house of the Lord. I do love you, but I want to get my life right because I messed it all up. I'm glad you're all saved and got everything all good in your self-righteousness. Hello? You see, self-righteousness is as filthy as rags to the Lord. But I'm gonna present an image to you that says, listen, I know I messed up, and I needed fixed. I needed a heart change. I looked at stuff that I didn't do. What my problem is that people that say they have no sin. Hello? I know I'm getting real quick. But the Bible says if we will confess our sins, this is 1 John 1:9, if we are faithful to confess our sins, if we will confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Amen? Not part of it, not part of the things I messed up, but all the things I've done, it can be wiped clean. You know what happens? The devil brings those memories back up. Oh, I did this wrong. I did this wrong. Oh, you used to be this person. Did. And I did it well. I was a good sinner. I'm sorry. I was a good sinner. I was a really good sinner, dude. Trust me. I was a really good sinner. I needed someone who could wash me of that junk. I need someone, when I had that lust in my eyes, I need someone to cleanse me of that. When I had that desire to go to that bottle, I needed someone to free me of that. Hello? If He can do it for me, He can do it for you.
Amen?
You sound like you're bragging. No, I'm not. I'm not bragging on my stuff. I'm bragging on what the Lord can do when you give Him all the pieces.
Right.
Hello? But you got to give Him all the pieces. Some of the worst things and the worst attacks were right here. The mind game of the devil is vicious because it brings up your past. Well, you did this and you did that. Yeah, but I've been redeemed. I've been washed anew. The blood of Jesus washed me in that. And that's what I offer you today. The grace and mercy of a loving God that sees your every move but loves you. He died for you long before you even were born. It says He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. And He still died. He bled to death. He bore the weight of our sin because He was perfect. You know, people argue with me about that. But that's what the Word says. He was without sin. We couldn't do it. That's why we needed a Savior. Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption of sin. Our sins, do you realize that our sins separate us from God? Amen? And people say, well, I'm praying for you. I'm praying. Don't pray for me because you need saved. Well, you're being critical. No, I'm a fruit inspector. Because too many people, they say, well, I'm a good person. Right? I do good deeds. Good deeds do not get you to heaven. Do you realize that? Amen? Good deeds do not get you to heaven. It's only the repentance and turning that gets you to heaven. And I'm concerned about all of us here and all those watching because no one told me growing up. No one told me the truth. I lived a life of a lie, thinking I was going to heaven, and no one was loving enough until I met a man named Pastor Burkhart that sat me down and said, listen, son, I can help you if you're willing. Amen? And it changed my entire course of life. I could not and would not and would not have been the husband that I need to be if I would not have turned my life over to the Lord. If Jesus was not in my marriage, we would not be married today. Because I'm born again and saved and given my heart to the Lord, I can be the dad that I need to be. You can't be the dad and parent without Jesus in and you in this Word. People try it every day and they're having trouble. But I'm telling you, it's the key. It's the key. Look, how many? Multiple years of marriage. 50, praise God. 50 years of marriage. And look who's in the middle. Amen? If I have a marriage problem, which pray I hope I don't, but I'm going to them folks right there. Amen? Amen? We'll have some coffee, right? Teach me a few things, right? A brother in the Lord, he'll say, son, let me help you out here a little bit. Praise God. You see, God is a loving God, and God loves you, but he hates the sin. And he wants to see us renewed to him. He, you know, as a dad, I don't know if you've had any of you've had this, but for me, when I would come home at my son's age, and he'd come running to me and say, Dad, you're home. And I relate that to our Heavenly Father, because our Heavenly Father is waiting for us to pray every day. Amen? He's waiting for us to get in His Word every day, because He sees you 24/7. You can't hide from Him. He knows what you're doing, whether you think it or not. He knows what's going on, and you can't hide from Him, so all you can do is get in line with Him. Hello? This is too much already? Amen? But you see, we've been talking about coming back to the Father's house, because He is my refuge now. All this junk going on, this pandemic going on, am I wise? Am I being careful? Absolutely. But I pray, and no weapon formed against me shall prosper. No plague shall come near my house. Go to the next verse. Listen to this. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. You see a perilous pestilence going through the land right now? Where are you at? You've got to be under the covering. Amen? Be under the covering. I'm believing in the Lord. I'm just going to trust in the Lord. Are people getting sick? Yes. But I'm just going to trust in the Lord. I don't know why they're getting sick, but I'm going to continue to believe and have faith in God that for me and my house, I'm protected. Are you here? Amen? So I want that for you. I want that for you. The question is where are we dwelling? Are we dwelling in the safety of the Most High God? Because in my life, I did not. I was the guy that was on the edges. I talked to this a few weeks ago about the snares of our life, how the snares where you're walking along and everything's going good and all of a sudden everything blows up. Does that happen to anybody? Yeah. Everything is fine. Bills are paid. Relationships are good. Job's good. And all of a sudden, boom, you find yourself laid off. And you're like, what just happened? Right? The snares of the world. The storms of the world. There's protection for you. There's protection from each one of us. But until you have your mind set of the safety, and I talked about an umbrella. If you're on the edges of the umbrella versus underneath the umbrella, look at how your life can change. And thank God I had someone tell me this truth years ago. Amen? And I'm sharing that same truth to you, that you may have light and you may have salt in your life and that you may see the redemption of the Lord. Because though I'm glad you're here and I'm glad you're listening, my number one concern is where will you spend eternity? In my family, no one talked about where I would spend eternity. No one talked about what would happen. I just thought I was good. I believed in God. I thought that was good enough. If you've read your Bible, you know that that's not true, right? I believe that just because I believed in God, I was good and everybody went to heaven. You ever heard that? I believe that. Everybody goes to heaven. Well, let me ask you. Those of you watching on the broadcast and you watch around, in the last 2 months, for what you've seen on the news and what you've seen on Facebook and what you've seen on the stuff, can you honestly sit here and tell me that you still think that everybody's going to heaven? For what you are seeing, a righteous and holy God, a loving God, but yet how can he allow some of that stuff to get into a precious place like heaven? I've been asking people this question. I'll come back next month and you tell me if you still think that way. Because he's a loving God, but he does not love sin. He's a righteous judge. And too many people sit here and they say, well, I'm a good person. I'm going to go. I'm not like that. Listen, we've all fallen short. If you've ever told a lie, if you've ever looked at a woman with lust, you know what the Bible says? It says that you've committed adultery in your heart. That's breaking one of the Ten Commandments. So if God judged you on one of the Ten Commandments, how would you place? Total lie. The Word of God says that no liars will enter. So guess what? This foul mouth has had to repent. Amen? You see, it's not to put anybody down, but to realize that we are in need of a Savior. Because until you realize you're in need of a Savior, you're going to live a life deceived, thinking that everything's all right. And part of my job, part of my calling, is to get you to recognize that, listen, things are not all right, and we are in need of a Savior. And the moment that we come to this realization and this truth, the better off that we can enjoy life, and I call it the abundant life. Because what more of abundant life can you have than you sit here in these seats and say, I'm good with the Lord. Amen? And I hope that that's every one of you, that every one of you's hearts is right before God. Because if it's not, then let's get right today and live the abundant life. How many of you want to live the abundant life? The abundant life tells me that no matter what happens to me, let me spin this on you. If you do get sick, and this is your last week on earth, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So I'm not going to worry. Well, that's a different way of thinking, because in my house, death was awful. We never talked about death. We never talked about where we would go. Have you ever heard the saying, it's better to go to a funeral than a party? It's in Ecclesiastes. You know why? Because it gets you thinking about eternity. Because let me just put it back on me. I never thought about where I would spend eternity until I started going to funerals. And I'd start to look at the people and go, what's going on here? It's messing with my mind. It got me thinking, and God started dealing with me on all these topics. Where would I spend eternity? And then I started hearing the Word of God. And I couldn't argue with the Word of God. I tried. Hello? I tried to argue with the Word of God. And then I find myself convicted and struggling and wondering, what is going on here? Because what I thought was truth was no longer truth. Has that happened to anybody here? You can't even hardly tell what the truth is anymore, can you? You watch the news, watch Facebook, all the different stuff. You can't even tell. But let me tell you, right here is where you can find truth. Amen? Amen? Do I have all the answers? Absolutely not. Nowhere near it. All I can do is be a witness and a testimony of what God did for me, because all these things I'm describing to you was me. I hope you can appreciate my openness. Because I don't want to present the picture of somebody who's fighting everything a bag of chips. I want to present to you a man that stands before you with redeemed. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. Amen. So let's get more into the Word. And let's jump down. Let's move down into Psalms. If you have your Bibles, we're going to go more into Psalms. And Psalms 42. Psalm 42, verse 1. If you're there, say amen. Otherwise, we'll have it on the big screen for you. All right. Psalms 42 says, as the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Verse 2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Here the writer is describing this man who found himself earning for God. And I ask the people watching today, and I ask you, are you seeking after God today like a deer would be looking for water these days? Right now we're living in dry times, both spiritually and physically. And I don't see people seeking out the Lord. I want to encourage you today to seek the Lord in these times, because we're living in dry times spiritually. But here you can find living water. You can find, if you're thirsty, you can find a cool drink of water here. But he writes, when shall I come and appear before God? When will it be? When will it be my time? When will it be your time? And if today was your day, is everything all right with you and the Lord? Because I want you to be sure. Because if you can sit here and you say, I know that I know that I know, then let's get rejoicing.
Amen.
Amen? Because that opens the door for you an abundant life. I don't want you to live one more moment doubting. You should know that you know. And if you don't know, if you're listening to this broadcast and you're unsure, we've had people recently get rededicated. We've been having people recently get rebaptized. Because why? Because they wanted to be sure. And you want to be sure. You want your home blessed. You want your family blessed. You want everything you put your hand to blessed, because you're above and not beneath. You're redeemed and restored. There's now royal blood flowing through your veins that gives you access to the blessings of God. Are you here? Amen? It makes a total difference, because if you're not living abundant life, why not? Right? Why not? What's wrong? What do we got to do to get you live an abundant life? Now, does that mean your bills are all going to be paid and everything's going to be perfect? No. Is everything going to work out exactly how you've ever thought? Not necessarily. Is there going to be storms? Yes. Is there going to be problems? Yes. But when you've got the Lord on your side, hello? When you've got the Lord in your marriage and in your home and in your finances and in your job, when you've got the Lord working on your behalf and you've been washed anew of all the stuff, there you find abundant life. Because if you're not living right before the Lord and you're having doubts, it's not fun. It's miserable. It's like you're being pulled on one side or the other. And all it took, you know what it took for me? Right here. Getting my face before God and humble myself. If I would pray and humble myself, what's Chronicles say? If my people who are called by my name, have you heard this on Facebook? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, seek my face, what's he say he'll do? Heal your land. So what's it take? A touch of humility. A little bit of prayer. A little bit of humbling oneself and saying, listen, I thought I was a bag of Doritos, but now not so much. Lord, would you help me? You know, it's interesting. I associate myself, those of you that are more in the Bible, I associate myself with Peter. You guys know who Peter is in the Bible, right? How about David, King David, right? You know the Bible calls King David a man after God's own heart? Do you know that? Do you know in this book you can read all the bad things and negative things that David did? It will shock you. And I ask myself, how can he be a man after God's own heart? I wouldn't want my stuff written in a book. Would you? You can go back and you can read all the different things that David did in this book, and it will shock you. Praise God that my history is not all written for you all to read. I can only just divulge some of it that you may receive the love of God that he's given and provided me to know that if he did it for me, he can do it for you. But, right? But King David was called twice in the Bible, 1 Samuel and in Acts, a man after God's own heart. And I thought to myself, how can that ever be? How can that be? Well, we find out in reading the scriptures that David was a psalmist. David praised the Lord. David humbled himself. David wept before the Lord. David asked for forgiveness. Though he sins and did sin, he asked for forgiveness multiple times from the Lord. And if there's anyone that can claim the God of multiple chances, that's him. So if you found yourself thinking that you've done so much wrong, you're limiting the power of God Almighty. Hello? He is able to wash the dirtiest of sin. And in his writing, we read so many times in Psalms. It is unbelievable to me, if you knew what I know in this Bible of the account, and to see God still work. And I like to read some of this to you, that you may be encouraged today. Amen? We won't get through all this because we don't have all afternoon. I think some of you want to go get some lunch. But I want you to see the love and mercy that God provides, to see the path that a man took to get right with God, and the change that can happen in you and I's life, declaring the goodness of God and being salt and light to this dark world. Amen? Because if we don't do it, think about this, Christians. If we don't be a light into this dark world, who's going to do it right now? Because it ain't happening. If Christians don't start standing up for what they believe, you're going to find your liberties and your freedom taken away from you. Amen. Hello? If you don't take a stand on the Word of God, they're trying to get this book out of everything. You're already seeing crazy radicals trying to take praise out of churches, trying to say that you can't even sing in church anymore. Are you kidding me? It's all in the Bible about praise and worshiping the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. It's trying to take away every freedom, every right. Who's trying to steal it? I just told you, John 10. Two worlds. One trying to steal, one trying to lift you up. One trying to take away, one trying to build you up. One trying to send you to hell, one trying to keep you out of hell. All right? Two paths. I hope you're getting something, yeah. Psalms 25 says, if you would go with me to Psalm 25. Listen, this is the Psalm of David. And in this psalm, when you're reading on your own, I want to encourage you to study these things. He says, it's a plea for deliverance and forgiveness. I was that person, guys. When I had my moment with the Lord, I was broken. And I was a mess. I was a hot, you know, in today's age, you know what they call it, hot mess? Yeah, that was me. I was a hot mess. And I'm not too proud to admit it. Now, my old days, I was everything in a bag of chips. I was the man. Now, I'm going to tell you no. The Lord softened my heart, exchanged my heart from a stony heart to a softened heart that says, listen, things got to be different. Amen? He says, to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. This is David. I had some enemies. He says, indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. I had a message a couple months ago about waiting on the Lord, because I like to bluegill fish and I like to hunt. And too many times people wait on the Lord like they're sitting in a Lazy Boy recliner. But when I go out to fish and I go out to hunt, I have an expectation that I'm going to see results. When I go bluegill fishing, I don't go out there just to sink worms. I go out there with a purpose that I'm coming home for dinner. Okay? So when we say wait on the Lord, do you have an expectancy that God's about to do something great in your life? Amen? Because I want you to get excited about what God's getting ready to do. Here, we're seeing a cry, but yet we also see an example. He's getting ready to do something. Watch this. He says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. I asked you today, are you teachable? Because I was not teachable. And here David is giving us an example of saying, would you show me your way, Lord? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So when you hear people saying there's many ways to get to God, there's many ways to get to heaven, is that truth or is that a lie? It's a lie. It is a lie. Because the Bible says in John 14:6 that he's the way. He's the truth. So that is another thing in my life that I did not know. I had to learn. I asked the Lord to show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth. And in my Bible, it's bolded. And teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. What is truth anymore? If enough people say it's okay to kill babies, does that make it okay? Well, there's a lot of people saying it. Surely it's truth. If it's okay to a lot of people say it's okay just to shoot people, and that it doesn't matter. That a lot of people say, does that make it truth? No. Too many people these days will believe a lie because of too many people saying it. And what we've got to do is remember to get back on the Word of God. Amen? You know, I'm not going to be one to point out each other's faults. What I am going to do is I'm trying to draw you closer to the Word of God today. Because when you find this relationship that David had a relationship with God that was very interesting because he had messed up, but yet he kept coming back to God. And there's too many people today that are messing up, and then we don't see them in church. Listen, repent, turn, get back into the house of the Lord where we can fellowship together, we can be together. Amen? Amen? He says, remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he teaches sinners in the way. Right here. And we're trying to teach others the way. Because there's a way that seems right to man, but in the end is death. And there's a way that is the Lord's way. And that's what we teach here at the River. And we're glad that you're here and we're glad you're listening. He says, the humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. Man, I was everything in a bag of chips. You couldn't teach me nothing. Truth. The Lord put me on my donkey. He knocked me. It was like the Apostle Paul. He knocked me off my donkey onto my donkey. Are you here? All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Let your namesake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. And look at this. This is good right here. He says, who is the man that fears the Lord? What have we taught here at the River? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. When you can continue to do your own ways and claim your own self-righteousness, there's an issue. When there is no fear of the Lord of the judgment that's coming, we will do whatever we want to do. Now, this is kind of some hard teaching, but it's truth. And until the prodigal son realized the error of his ways, he was bound determined to go any way he wanted, right? Until he saw some resistance and got his mind right, that's when the Lord could work with him, and there became to be fear of the Lord. There became this coming back to the Father's house. Too many people today only know God as the God of love. They don't see him as the God of the righteous God, a jealous God. They don't see him that way. But he's coming back, and judgment's coming. And if we're not right with the Lord, what I don't want to have, if it was his day and he come back and he says, okay, we're all going up and a few of you are left, then there's a problem that I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't prepare you for eternity. I didn't prepare you for his returning, because he says he's coming back, and with him judgment is coming. Are you here? Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. There was fear here is a respect for the Lord. Not to be afraid like we're scared of him, because like you heard this morning in the song, is he's my friend. I fear him to the point of a highly deemed respect that says, when I'm tempted to sin, I remember that judgment coming. I remember what he's saying. I go, nope, I don't want to sin no more. There should be something in you and I. Now, are we perfect? No. Was David perfect? Absolutely not. But there's something that should happen. Let's keep it simple. If I slip with my tongue, Lord, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. But if I just sit here and go, well, God's okay with that. God, that's no big deal. That's cheap grace. Well, God forgives anything I do. It doesn't matter what I do anymore. I can do whatever. I can go drinking, partying, do whatever I want to do, look at whatever I want to. I'm still saved. I'm born again. Deceived. You're deceived. I love whoever I'm talking to enough to tell you it's time to repent and turn and not use this cheap grace, because when you start fearing the Lord, then there's something that comes on you. It goes, something's just not right here. I'm living my life, but has anybody ever felt that but me? Don't leave me up here all by myself this morning, will you? Where you're going through life and something's happening, you know, I just don't feel good about this anymore. I need to fix this. I need to do something different. This mouth of mine, I got to fix. Lord, help me fix my mouth. That was me. Because it keeps slipping. It's like, oh, I didn't mean to say that. Or you do this, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Lord, forgive me. You see, there's a check now. That's a good thing. Can I encourage you? It's a wonderful thing that when you have a check in your spirit that says, I'm not who I used to be, I'm going to turn from that. Hello? I used to do that, and it didn't bother me. I would cuss and swear and drink and do whatever I did, and it didn't concern me one iota. And now it's like, oh, I'd love to go to the bar with you. No, I'm not doing that anymore. I used to do that. I'm free of that now, because before the alcohol had a hold of me. Hello? You're going to leave me up here all by myself today. It's a good thing that... And you feel something now. Because in the old days, I felt nothing. It is wonderful that you feel something. That's God working through you. Amen? That is something that you should embrace, because you're like, well, where's God? Where's God in my life? When you feel those checks and balances, He's leading you on the path that you should go, that you can get right with Him and things are good. And you may never even notice it until this moment. You're like, well, I just feel like crying. The Lord's working on you. Say, listen, turn. Turn. I'm helping guide you on the path that you should go. And that's that humbling, that love of God. If we could get people to understand the heart of God in the heart of David, where when he messed up, he got right with the Lord and he fixed it. Too many people today are going, well, it doesn't matter. I can just do whatever I want. God's a God of love. I shouldn't have to repent. I shouldn't have to do this. Trust me, I'm dealing with people about this right now. Well, God's so loving that I can do whatever I want. I'm still, no. Where's the conviction of the Lord? Where's the check? Because as a Christian, I get a check. If I get an invite to where it's not good for me, there's like, no. Okay, Lord, pause. Right? He says, he shall in him, or him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity. Hello? Would you like to dwell in prosperity? It ain't going to happen if you don't have any respect for the Lord. You'll have the world system, which can come and go, but I'm here to present to you a godly system that there is no end, there is provision for you, that He'll meet all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. I want to dwell in prosperity. I'm done with lack. I was a guy that had lack. I'm done with it. Want no more part of it. Hello? The Bible says that He'll pour out blessings so much on me that I can't hardly contain it. How about you? Amen? Amen? So if you've ever dealt with lack, or you watching, you listen to me on the broadcast, if you're dealing with lack, when are you going to get sick and tired of being sick and tired? It's time to get right with the Lord, and let's get you in the house of the Lord, and let's get you blessed. Amen? He says, He himself shall dwell in prosperity. That's my life now. Am I a multimillionaire? No. I don't lack nothing. Can I give you a real application? I think this might encourage you. Something so simple, okay? And I'm not going to get, you've seen all my notes. I'm not even getting through all my scriptures. I had a deal recently. I used to deal with lack, okay? And a lot of it was because I wasn't disciplined. I had to learn Bible discipline. I had to learn to discipline this flesh. And this is so simple a story, but let me just share it with you. I won't take too long. I had a deal just recently in which I had my mind set I was going to go do something at the store and buy this piece of meat, okay? Now, I love to barbecue. I'm getting better at it. I like ribs and brisket and all this kind of stuff. And I was going to get a little crazy, and I was going to buy this big piece of meat and spend this extra money. And I had it in my mind that I was going to do it. But it was kind of expensive. But it would have been good. And I go in there. I go into the store, and I'm like, here it is. This is what I wanted. Oh, but the price is kind of high. Should I buy that or should I not? And you know, today meat prices are pretty up there, right? Amen. And I'm going and I'm looking. I'm like, okay, this is what I need. And I'm gonna look on my list, and I'm gonna go to the other stuff on my list. And right down from it was some good food, but regular food that's not what I came in there for, but it was on sale. And I thought, but I wanted this. I wanted to do this. I had this on my mind to buy this right here. But if I bought this, I could make 5 or 6 meals with it. And I thought, So I went and did some of my shopping. And I started thinking about my dad card. My man card of chief barbecuer wanted to go buy this. And I thought, my family would be good and I'd be good at this. But then the Lord showed me this deal. And the question would be is, in my old days, I'd be like, eh, no big deal. And now I go, Lord, you just blessed me, and it's up to me to receive it. In those family packs that I bought literally 5 family packs of this meat that's still very good, yummy food. For the exact same price, I'd have bought this one piece of meat. And you're like, why? What? You fell and hit your head. Why are you contributing this to God? Because God would mold and shape me to give me wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That I can make one meal or I can make 5 or 6 meals for my family and do the right thing. I had to give up that one thing that I wanted. I was able to bless my entire family for the exact same money. I call that prosperity. Because though I wanted one thing, He's now provided for me an avenue. I didn't even go to the store for that. And yet now my family is going to eat very... Now, we don't eat out a lot at my house. My wife and I do the cooking. But what I'm saying is, to me, that was provision. To me, that was taking the one thing that I had, and if I would submit to God's way, I would have 3 weeks of food for the exact same price. Now, that may seem small to some, and some are probably like, you know, that dog in a headlight, you know, the possum, you know what I mean? But for me, you see, because I'm used to dealing with, I used to deal with lack. And now I look for the deals, and you know what I do? Every time I find a deal now, I say, thank you, Lord. So if you needed something to be thankful for, there's one thing. Because I no longer want to deal in lack. I want to deal in prosperity. How about you? And his descendants shall inherit the earth. In other words, my kids blessed. Right? You want your kids blessed? Verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. If there's no respect, how may you know the secret things of God? The Bible says in Jeremiah, it says that he'll show you great and mighty things, but the key is that you've got to seek him for those great and mighty things. He says, and he will show them his covenant. Do you understand that when you say you're born again and you believe in Jesus, it's more than just saying, I'm a believer. It's more than just saying, forgive me, Lord, and you go on your way. There is a covenant that you make with God. It is an awesome, awesome thing, if I can teach you this today, is that this covenant is this relationship, and that's what I want to teach. It's not religion. Religion will leave you in the ditch. Religion will leave you out of church. Religion will have you messed up. But what I'm talking about today is a relationship, and David found that relationship. Even though he messed up, just like this guy, I'd found out that there's more to life and all these churches and this religion and all this stuff. And what Pastor Sparks and the ministry team have helped me along the way is that I was that guy that we read about in the Samaritan, the guy in the ditch. We've all been there. And there was one that walked by and looked at him and did nothing, the priest. The other one, the Levite, walked by and did nothing. Been that guy in the ditch. And now I realize that it's about relationships. And you got to get this today, church. Going to church and being in the house of the Lord is not a religious activity as some make it out to be. It needs to be about a relationship that you and I have, that we have in the house of the Lord, that we restore the family unit. Because this world has messed up the family unit. This world has messed up churches. They've taken the Word of God out of churches. They've taken, how many times have you seen the Bible translations taking stuff out of the Word of God nowadays? Twisting and perverting the Word of God. We must take a stand, church. We must take a stand and know whom we have believed. It says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Is He showing you new things today? Are you maybe learning something today that no one's ever talked this truth to you? Because I want to be one that is revealing some truth to you that your eyes may be open. And look what verse 15 says. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Last time I talked about the snares of life. How about the snare of your, how about the net of your life? The snare will catch your one foot. The net tries to get your whole family. Hello? You got to be watching for the evil one. Yes, he'll try to keep you out of church. He'll try to get you all out of sorts with everyone. But there's a net that's tried to apply, you know, with fishing, where you get more than one fish at a time. Remember in the Bible how Peter used the net and pulled all the fish up? That's what a net's for. Well, the devil will do the same thing. If he can catch your whole family, if he can keep you out of church, he can keep you messed up. But the Lord says, He shall pluck my feet out of the net. I'm believing for my family. I'm believing for your families that you'll all be saved. Because we need to tell the truth in love. We need to ask those hard questions that no one wants to ask. Hey, is everything all right with you and the Lord? I need to ask those questions because no one asked me those questions only to find out that I've been deceived for years. If you're not right, let's get right. He says in 16, he says, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me. You know what that means? That means mercy and grace are connected where it's like He had every right to punish us, but instead, the Word of God says that God loved this world so much that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him will perish. Amen? He had every right to punish us for the things we've done wrong, but instead, He sent His only Son to be the sacrifice and to pay the debt that we couldn't pay. He says, turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distress. Look on my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Verse 20 says, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I have put my trust in You. You know what? If you've put your trust in the Lord today, you have no reason to be ashamed. You have no reason to feel anything wrong because you've made a stand in your house for the Lord. I've got people that come against me because I've taken a stand for the Lord. I've got friends that have left me. I have a whole lot less friends now than I had before because I'm no longer buying pizza and beer. Hello? That was my life. Hey, you come into the party? Yeah. You bringing Papa John's? Yeah. All right. I was the most popular guy in the world until I got saved. then there had to be a distinction. Do I still care about all those people?
Yeah.
But bad company corrupts good morals. And I had to decide for me and my house, I had to separate myself from some people. Do I pray for them? Yes. Do I care for them? Yes. But I know me. If I get around that kind of stuff, I'm going to be tempted, and I don't need to put myself in those places. Are you here? Sometimes you got to take a stand that says, no, for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord, which means I can't go into that. All right? Bring me out of my distresses, Lord. Look on my afflictions and my pain and forgive me of all my sins. Consider my enemies, for there are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Oh, that's a big word these days. You know what integrity? Doing the right thing when no one's watching. Hello? There's nothing greater than a man could be called than a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, knowing that no matter what happens, because you know why? Because we have the fear of the Lord. When you have the fear of the Lord and you know he's like that camera watching you, you're like, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. You have the fear of the Lord. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. And again, he says, redeem Israel, God, out of their troubles. In other words, he's concerned about all the families now. So not only am I concerned about myself and my own family, I'm concerned about all your families. Because when you leave this place, you're going to have to make decisions. You're going to have to make choices every single day. Every single morning, you're going to have to ask yourself and say and declare, for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. Because if you're not going to declare that, then you're serving something else. You're serving someone else. And I told you at the beginning of this, what's his purpose? Kill, steal, and destroy. Yes, we've messed up. But when there's change, and I'm getting ready to close with this, I want some of you to get, so you can get ready for lunch. And then we'll pick up the rest on Wednesday. Because there's something that changed. There's something that changes in you and I as Christians, because when you're truly born again, you want to talk about Jesus. You're no longer ashamed of the one who saved you and freed you of the mess. And in verse 27, it's the Psalm of David, and look how his words change, okay? It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Now, I don't know about you, but that changes the tone. When you go from a mess and brokenness to now, so go with me here. Let me paint the picture. Everything in a bag of Doritos, okay, to a humbling, to now I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. There's a difference that happens to you and I as a Christian. If I can encourage you today, when you go out of here, you're born again, you're believing in Christ, right? Everybody here is born again, saved, believers in the Lord. Amen? So when you go out of here, listen, you are not defeated. There is something that has changed in your life. The power of the Lord, the Most High God, King of Kings, has put something in you that empowers you to not only do the right thing, but to overcome and be an overcomer in all things that you come against. That nothing shall prosper against you. No weapon. Hello? What's a weapon? Fiery darts, name calling, people putting you down, people tearing you up, people saying you're this, people remembering your past, all the things that you used to do. I'm redeemed. Shut it off. Take a hand. Behind me. Get behind me, Satan. Amen. That's what you say to that. The Lord rebuke you. Get behind me, Satan. I once was blind, but now I see. I was once a sinner, but now I'm saved. There's something that happens to you, a declaration that changes your life, that says, I am somebody now. I'm born again. There's royal blood flowing through my veins that says, I am of the Lord's. Hello? Are you here? There's something that changes in your speech that says, I admit I was that guy, but now I'm somebody. You're not going to talk to me like that anymore. Right. You're not going to put me down anymore. I'm somebody. Yes, you saw me do those things. I've been redeemed. You keep bringing it up. Get that trash out of here. I don't want to hear it. You keep bringing up my past. get behind me, Satan. You're not on my side. When you have people, if you're born again and you have people keep bringing up your past, they're not on your team. You got to know that. You got to understand. You pray for them. You love them. You hope that the Lord changes their heart and softens their heart. But you need to go out of this place going, I'm free. That big bag of bricks you've been hanging on to of your past needs to get laid right here. And you go out that door and go, I'm somebody in Jesus Christ. I'm not arrogant. I'm not prideful. I just know who I believe, and I know who paid the price for me. Amen? And I want you to go out of this place encouraged and knowing that you're somebody in the Lord. Because too many people tried to beat this guy down. People told me I wasn't fit to be in this pulpit. But yet I have the best story of redemption of somebody who was lost and was blind, but now I see. To me, that's the gospel message. That's the message that needs to be heard along this land. That if you've done so much wrong, you can be set free. That God can heal me, He can heal you. That you can be once again renewed and be healthy and feel good about yourself and go home and sleep well tonight and be joyful in the morning. Amen? Hallelujah. There's got to be a change that happens, and we get excited for Jesus. We shouldn't be ashamed of what God's done for us. And too many people in this town, in this city, are religious. They treat it like a social gathering, and it's not. We're born again believers. Amen? Amen. I got to get you fired up a little bit today. You got to understand that there's royal blood in you now. Amen? I'm not the same guy. You're not the same woman. You're not the same guy. Now, if you're pretending, you got a problem. Because the Lord will call you right out. But if you're truly born again, your heart's right, listen. Because if you're not, the Lord's going to keep convicting you. I'm just telling you. But when you get right and you say and you take a stand, here's the key. I'm not receiving that anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Are you here? When the wicked kissed me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Are you here? Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may arise against me, in this I will be confident. Confident? Do you want to be confident today? Amen? Got myself all excited there, preaching to myself. I want you to go out of here confident because there are people, even in your own families, are going to say, nah, that didn't take. There are going to be people in our families that say, yeah, I'm just waiting. This is just his new hobby. Been there. Oh, this is just a fad. He'll get over that. He's just got a little religion. Uh-uh. I've had a God encounter, and I know that God did a work in me, and I'm redeemed and restored. There's a testimony, and nobody can take your testimony away from you. You can only give it up. Are you here? Don't let them take it from you. Listen, I'm gonna close with this, and then we'll get more on Wednesday. Let me show you the beauty and the secret. I just told you the fear of the Lord and the secret of the Lord. I'm going to give you the greatest nugget you can see that was key to David. Okay? Are you here? Are you ready for this? Verse 4. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. It's the most beautiful thing of David that the Lord gave him the desires of his heart. Though he messed up, though I've messed up, I've made this a similar prayer that says, Lord, let me be in your house. Let me behold the beauty, the calmness, the presence we felt this morning. The joy of the Lord is my strength. That, yes, I used to fish tournaments, and yes, I used to party, and yes, I used to do all this stuff and all these things that kept me out of Sunday morning. But now, Lord, protect me. Let me stay in that covering. Let me dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now there's a time now we get to dwell in the house. Let me dwell in your house forever. Just felt that. I just felt that, Lord. There's a switch that just happened. Too many people have their eye on here and not on eternity there. If you can't enjoy yourself in the house of the Lord here, how do you think you're going to make it to there? You see? This is preparing you. Basic instructions before leaving earth. This is preparing you that you may spend eternity in the Father's house. The words today are to prepare you so that when your day comes, you and your family will know where you're going. The worst thing that could ever happen to a Christian is for us not to let others know about the great works and the testimony that he did for us. Because I testified for you all, though I don't like being so transparent. I testified before you and the Facebook and the radio. If you want to know where I'm at, listen to what I've been speaking. Listen to the words that I've been preaching. Listen to the transformation God changed me, because I'm leaving you a roadmap on how to get to where I will be. Because we're not guaranteed tomorrow. This could be the last message I ever preach. You don't know that. You don't know if you'll wake up to tomorrow. So in knowing that, why would you ever risk and gamble on when you might take your last breath? If this happened to be my last message, it would be to say, come back to the Father's house. Come to Jesus, for that's where I'll be. It's not about religion. It's about the relationship. Today's the day of salvation. There's many people been on the fence and on the outskirts, and I'm calling you back to the Father's house from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And I want to encourage each one of you to do the same. I want to encourage each one of you to say, I know what God's done for me. And I want to share that with you. Maybe you got to be a little more transparent than you want, like me. Because I'm just a real preacher. I don't put on a show. I'm not here to tickle your ear. Amen? Because I care about you more than you realize I care about you. Because one of these days, we're going to take our last breath. And I want you to be where I'm going. Or I want to be where you went. And I want you to be able to say, that was a man of God. That was a man of integrity. Yes, did he do those things? Yes, but he was redeemed. He was restored. There's no doubt. I know where he's going. I know that I know that I know. And that's what I leave you today. I want you, when you leave out of this place today, that you know that you know that you know that no matter what comes against you, no matter what hurts you, what may be painful to you, that you know with confidence, as the word says, confidence that you are born again. You're not deceived. You're healthy. You have a healthy relationship with God. You want to grow closer to God. You want to be mimicking the things that David did to grow closer in his relationship to God, and know that that's done through Jesus Christ. That when you repent and you turn, that changes your relationship. You once was separated, but the moment that you repent and you turn, the Bible promises a time of refreshing. Amen? So God bless you. We'll see you next time. We hope to see you broadcast with us on Wednesday. We'll see you in the house at 6:30 here at the river next time. God bless.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.